in working together, we accomplished much, but when we had a fallout, it's like we couldn't get nowhere. You know, and it's a saying that I think, I don't know which president said it, says a country divided. I don't know how it says, but anyway, we can't be divided. You know, we gotta work this thing together. We gotta be together and working it. And then the Bible teaches us, giving us an example of the ant, how the ant work together. Mm-hmm. You know, they just work together and get the job done. They work together and get it done. And we can see it, you know, it's like we see a few ants one day, we come back, there's a mound. They've done what they're supposed to do. And today we just want to speak about how to build relationship and fellowship. You know, how do we do that? Because we need that. We need to be together. We need to be on the same page. We need to that fellowship. You know, someone that says fellowship is like a fellows on a ship. And if you're on that ship, you ain't speaking to one another, it's gonna be what? It's gonna be wrong, right? Walking by one another, can't ain't saying nothing, you know. I don't speak to you, you know, so forth and so on. You know, fellowship is that ship that we're all on together. And it's no, like I said before, you know, how we see things. If we see things, we gotta see things spiritually, not worldly, carnally. Because when we see it carnally, we see colors. We see black and we see white. We see Spanish and we see Oriental. But when we look at it spiritually, we see a people. We see a people who need one another and who needs Christ. Amen. You know, that's what we see. And you know, sometimes we have to build a relationship because we don't know one another. I can't just come to you and say, hey brother, I love you so much, and I know, you know, it's a building process. We have to get to know one another, you know, because sometimes I could see you and I said, that person right there ain't no person that I can get along with, right? But when I get to know that person, guess what? Become my best friend, you know, become my best friend. And how do we build a relationship, and how do we build fellowship in the church? But before we speak about how to build relationship and fellowship, let's talk about how we mess up relationships and fellowship. Are you with me? How do we do that? You know, what happens? You know, what happens to dilute or to tear down fellowship in relationships? You know, and anybody, you can help me talk about it if you want. You know, what happens? Yes.
Well, sometimes.
Kathy.
I'm so proud of you. Thank you. And you're smiling, too. See, that's
I smiled last, didn't I smile last Sunday?
Well, last Sunday, you got to work on that one. Okay, thank you.
That'll okay, Ken, I don't smile.
Well, you know, I'm thinking that when you walk by people, like as many years as we've been coming to Edgehill, I still don't know these folks as much as I'd like to, you know, because this is your family. These are the people that are going to get you to heaven. So I think more fellowship, more getting to know one another and acknowledging them. When you see them in the building, always have a kind word. And that would, to me, you know, that makes my day. Just a smile and, you know, hi, or something. That always builds up the fellowship because you feel like, well, you're important enough for that person to stop talk to you. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's one that I like.
An untamed tongue causes more
Proverbs. Yes, sir. Bible says, be slow to
speak,
quick to hear, slow to wrath. Right? Now, one thing about, like I said, you know, just like if I just met Chuck, right? And I look at him and I say, he don't smile. You know, what's wrong with him, right? That's just how he is. I can't, you know, McLaughlin, why you ain't smiling today? You know, you might not, huh? Exactly. But that don't make me feel less about you. Right? That don't, you know, because you didn't smile today. Maybe you're just having a bad day. You know? But what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to smile. Regardless. Right? You know, I'm supposed to smile. Barbara?
Yeah. Sometimes people don't even realize they're not smiling. They got something on their mind. And I've had to do that because the field that I'm in. You know, you come in the morning and you say, I'm going to do this first before the children get here. And that's your aim. Mm-hmm. But somebody else may see you and say, and you haven't said a word other than good morning and trying to get the work that you need to do. So sometimes I think we are in a rush to do what we need to do, that we may say hi and keep going, and somebody may say, what is she doing like that?
Why does she look like that? You know, and it happens. It happens. I've done it myself sometimes, you know. Just like I see Zebra sometimes, right? You know, why you got to be smiling all the time? You know, there ain't nothing funny, you know? Right? You know? But if the man want to be happy all the time, let him be happy. Right? You see, it's what I give. It's not what when we get before the Lord, it's not going to be what the people did to me. It was I done to the people. What have I done? Right? That's how it's going to be. And it felt. Go ahead. No.
I was going to say sometimes that like that person you said might say, why are you smiling all the time? That's an unhappy person.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times when you meet people, you're passing someone, and you know those people that they have this look like a glum. Sometimes when you speak to a person and acknowledge them, it helps their day.
Exactly. Sometimes they didn't have a good night's sleep, you know. You know, woke up too early or whatever. Things happen.
And especially older people, and I'm one of the older people now, but sometimes when somebody just, you know, acknowledge you, it just makes a difference.
Okay. And we have to recognize this when we recognize one another on this ship, because we are in fellowship, in a relationship, right? And we are to bear one another's burden, and we are to, you know, try to understand. You know, just like if this sister don't speak, right? I can't go home and say, you know, I don't, you know, that sister, she don't never speak. You know, I come this way, she go the other way. Or this brother, you know, I come this way, he walk around the other way just because he see me, right? But it's not what that brother's doing to me, it's what I'm going to do for that brother. Are you with me? It's what I'm going to do for him, because that's important. You see, what I do, not what folk do to me, is going to be important, but what I, you know, how I answer it. The Bible teaches us to answer softly. Are you with me? You answer strife or wrath softly, you get a good result. It's how we answer things. Are you with me? It's just like if she or he treated me wrong, how do I answer it? you see, because we are still brothers and sisters, you know, and we're in this together. We are in this, on this ship together. Are you with me? And we can't, you know, be on this ship ignoring one another. That's not good. But it's a thing you work on. You might not have it right away. It's something that you work on. Remember we spoke about last week about we might need a tutor. You know, some of us may not be there yet. We're not there just yet, but we need to be there, right? You know, some of us take a longer time to learn things. Go ahead.
Well, I like the fellowship. Mm-hmm. Where is our ship headed? Okay. We cannot paddle that ship if we're grumpy. And we've got to remember how the scriptures say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Mm-hmm. Have the joy of the Lord. You're going to have to work on that. Everybody's going to have to work on that. Yes, I have bad days. I really do. I'm not always this perfect, but coffee helps. Anyway, but still, I want you to know that if you want those, we're in here. We're all hurting. We all have needs. And when I notice that, say, Lynette's not feeling herself today, she might need that hug. But I won't know, you know, until I go up and acknowledge her. So I try to spread my joy. And if she doesn't want it, she'll tell me I don't hug today.
Now listen, just because I don't smile doesn't mean I'm grumpy.
No, but you know what I mean. She's never grumpy. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying?
That's me.
This ship is important. Mm-hmm. This ship is going to heaven. Mm-hmm. Jesus is on that ship. Lord willing, he is. He would not be like this if he was on the ship. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Think about it. If you were on a ship with the Lord Christ, I don't think any of us would be grumpy. I don't think any of us have a problem, one. In fact, and we'd be doing all we could to praise and glorify him. And I hope that's what we're doing on this ship.
Yes, sir.
And everybody undoubtedly would be smiling.
Some things we all have to work on.
Yes.
And I'd have noticed my brother working on certain things. Just like I said, in my construction, when I, you know, had a booming construction business, in my construction business, I saw some fellas working. Some fellas were doing better than the others. And I look at some of them, right? And I said, well, you know, they working on being better, you know? And I saw that, and I got experience from that, you know? And one thing about me, I wasn't the type that yelled at them, you know, so forth and so forth. But if I see you striving to do it, right, go on, because we're making money. Are you with me? We gonna get this building built, right? You know, you might be a little slower than the others. You might don't even understand quick, but you know, just let me see your progress, you know, and so forth and so on. But like we said, in building relationship and fellowship is very important. But there is a such thing called that as a friendly fire. You know, friendly fire, just like we start out with the tongue. Friendly fire can cause trouble. Are you with me? It can cause trouble. Sometimes we don't think before we say certain things, and we say it to a brother or sister. Are you with me? And they might not be there right now. Are you with me? Certain things we may do to a brother and sister, and they might not be there right now. But it's friendly. We mean well, but it don't go well. I'm gonna give you an example, right? Some time ago, right? We had a service in man, I was hallelujah happy, right? Had a good service, song service, singing service. It was beautiful, right? And me and the brother, we went to the restroom, right? And I was standing, you know, waiting and whatnot, right? This brother, me, beautiful brother, you know, I mean, we're okay, you know? The brother, he went in to use the restroom, came out, did not wash his hand, pat me on my back like, Brother Pat, I said, we having a good time in here, right? Oh, that got me. Oh, it got me. But I didn't say nothing, right? It seemed like all the joy that I had, it just took it all away, right? Man, why don't you wash your, why didn't you, came right out of the, and came right to me and pat me on my back and then gonna rub it like that, right? Boy, I was just, right? Boy, I was able to turn the other cheek and, because that's my brother, right? Maybe he didn't realize because he was feeling good, Maybe he didn't realize what he was doing, right? And then if he did realize what he's doing, that's between him and God, but and me. But if he didn't, right, I understood. But now if he do it again, sooner or later we got to, if a brother continue to do stuff or a sister continue to do stuff, we got to let them know. Sister, come here, let me speak to you. Brother, come here, let me speak to you. What you done, right? I really it's taken away from me. Alright? And I don't want you to take away, take my joy away. I want you to help me to keep my joy. Certain things that we do and certain things that we say. Right? And help me to keep my joy because I'm going to help you to keep your joy. I may do something or say something to you, right, that you don't like, or that you just don't like, I want you to be able to come to me and say, Bill Patterson, I prefer you not doing that again. I prefer you not saying what you said to me, Are you with me? And guess what? I ought to what? Respect that. And that's a building. And then the next time it's like we get to understand one another, how far we should go with one another. Because it's very important that this fellowship be strong. That nobody jump off the ship getting tired, it's that, we do whatever it takes to keep it together. And the thing that keeps it together is that thing called love. You see? And if we don't know what love is, we need to get it on. Are you with me? We need to know what that really is. Because love is not just what you say. Love is actually what you give. You see? A preacher said it like this, a bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. Love is not love if you keep it in your heart to stay. Love becomes love when you give it away. You say you got that love is something that you give. You give with an understanding, that I'm giving to you this because if you give me, it's like that's what I want to give you back. Love, right? Yeah, but if you give me some trouble, I might, want to give you some trouble back, right? But it's love, and how we build relationship, we bear one another's burdens. Everybody ain't gonna be as rich as some. Everybody ain't gonna be as pretty as some. And some people feel bad about not being. They just feel bad about not being there. Right? And we have to bear that. We have to understand that. I've been there. I've done that. And keep this ship afloat. Like the sister said, keep it afloat because we're on our way to heaven. Are you with me? And we don't want nobody to jump off on. We want more to come on board. So we have to, we want to do the things that will keep us strong together.
Ephesians 4:29. I'll be reading to him. not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs,
yes, sir.
That it may benefit those who listen.
And what standard is that?
NIV.
NIV. I mean, that's breaking it down into sense that we could, you know, give people what they need. If you ain't gonna give them what they need, don't give them nothing at all, right? Paul said it like this. He said, "If meat make my brother to offend, I will not eat meat." That give me the idea that, you know, listen, if I'm doing something to make my brother fall, I'm not gonna do it. Why would I want my brother or sister to fall? You know, why? Because I don't love them? Or because I don't know what love is? You know? Because many within the church, not you, within the church, do not know what love is. They love carnally. They love with the flesh. You love with the flesh. You ain't got no love. All right.
Yeah, kind of go along with that. Far too many within the brotherhood want to be served.
Mm-hmm.
But nowhere in their vocabulary do they want to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Serving the Lord, serving each other. Serve.
That's right.
That's our privilege.
Mm-hmm.
In the Lord's body to serve so that we please Lord Almighty. We didn't come here to be served and thinking that's what religion is all about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know,
can I ask just to
you ask, you said good.
I'm asking, okay. And maybe part of a question as well, my asking and stating. With the fellowship that we're having and the love that is needed for that fellowship, because it's part of what God has already, what Jesus has shared with us, that is part of the fruits of the Spirit. Do we not need to also, in order to do that, sometimes we have to look within ourselves and seek the Holy Spirit? Because what the brothers said, the sisters have said, to, in order to speak those kind words, to do those good actions, we need to know what they are. And if we don't know what they are, we have to ask the Holy Spirit. Because we can come into the body, but being in the body, we may not understand what the word is telling us. Like, love is the fruit of the Spirit. But like you said, it's not love until we give it away. But until we seek the Holy Spirit, which God gave us, which is in all of us once we accepted Jesus, we won't know what love is to be able to start sharing it and to, like Kathy said, go and to give a hug when we see someone in need. Because some of us may think that, I'm going to put it in air quotes, that some people are unapproachable. Or if they are in their moment, they may not want to be bothered. I've been told by several sisters years ago that my words did not always reflect my actions. And I didn't understand that. I was doing what I did, not realizing what I was saying. So I was here. But I had to understand what the Holy Spirit was meaning and doing for me, so I had to do a better study. So sometimes we can't act upon what we need to understand about the love and what we need to do to be on this ship where, like, we're paddling. Some of us are not paddling in the same direction, even though we're here, because we haven't understood how the Holy Spirit is working with us.
And one of the things that, you know, of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit is patience.
Okay. That's what we need every day.
Yeah. Patience. We have to be patient with one another, you know?
Patient with ourselves.
Yes, ma'am. Patient with ourselves and patient, and especially patient with one another, because if my brother falls, right, and I pick him up and he falls again, I pick him up and he falls again, man, look, you going, you know. Are you with me? That patient will cause us to help the brother be better, not get tired of him and leave him down. Right? patient. It must be there. Because just like you said, learning how to, just like none of us are there yet. To tell you the truth, none of us will never be there. We're going to be learning as long as we're here. As long as we're breathing air, we're going to be learning. Right? Don't think that I got it all. You know, I don't know it all. Are you with me? But it don't stop me from wanting to know. It don't stop me from learning. You know? But being patient with one another, right? Because he or she ain't there yet, just be patient. Because somebody was patient with me. Always remember, kind of like say so, where you came from. Are you with me? Somebody was patient with you, so you be patient with others. Brother Chuck.
Yeah, if the brother keeps falling, hopefully we've gathered enough wisdom in our age that maybe you need a cane.
Mm. Yeah, you got to teach them. You got to.
And also, well, if you still fall with the cane, well, maybe you need a walker. Mm-hmm. If it's still falling, brother, let's take you to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Something's going.
Something's going to work.
Yeah, but again,
got to
do what we can.
Exactly. You know, it's just like I said before, right? Just like some people who are out there asking for things, you know, asking for help, so forth and so on, right? You can give them money. You can give them money, right? And that person's still out there, right? But you give that person some Bible, right? That's what you're supposed to be doing. Not just giving them physical things, but giving them spiritual things. I told you before, I remember a guy, when I was living in Petersburg, I was headed over to churches, right? And this guy, he came to me and he said, man, I'm hungry, right? I said, okay, come with me. He said, where are we going? I said, we're going to churches, right? He said, listen, just give me the money and I'll, I'll be all right. You got $2? Just give me $2. I'll be all right. I said, no, you hungry? I said, come with me, right? So we was walking, right? And this guy, I was walking up there, but he was walking behind me. He didn't walk side by side, right? Walking behind me. So we went there, and I got him $1.99. I think it was two pieces of chicken and a biscuit for $1.99 back in the day, right? And he got that. And the next time I seen him, right, he came to me and said, I know I'm going to get something to eat now, right? I said, yes, sir. I said, we're going to get some Bible with this. He said, well, listen, I ain't about the Bible. I'm not about the Bible. I said, but the Bible could help you to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. Knowing what God would have you to do could help you get out of this situation you're in. I ain't. And he walked away. All right, and it just so happened a couple more months I seen him again, right? And I was walking on this side, he was walking on that side. He see me coming, he crossed the street and walked, right? Because he was thinking that I was crazy, right? But sometimes when we give, we ought to give spiritually and physically. We just not give, you know, and to help somebody be nobody. We got to help them be somebody. I give them the scriptures to spirit, you know, spiritual giving also. You see, because we could hurt somebody by just helping them to be nobody, you know, and that's not good.
It's kind of like you're enabling that action.
Yes, yes, sir.
We want to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Introduce them to the Lord, where again, plant the seed, and God gives the increase.
Yes, sir.
And they'll see the benefit.
Yes, sir.
We were talking about the matters of the heart. Again, Matthew 12:34 and Luke 6:45 talks about, highlights the connection between a person's inner thoughts, feelings, and the words they speak. It suggests that our words are a reflection of what is stored within us. And sometimes we get to really experience the person when they slam the door on their thumb or they drop something on their foot and they are just raw with what they're saying. So that, but again, what comes out of their mouth is what is reflected inside. Now, true, as you're saying, as we gain older and hopefully become wiser, we control that and hopefully get to the point where you eliminate that. But there's no more harboring in your heart. It's not there to be pulled out anymore because it's been replaced with love, kindness, patience, you know, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That is what's in there to replace those ugly things.
Yes. Yeah. Be not weary in well doing. You know, like I said, some of us are slow, slower than others. We just be for real, right? Just be for real. Some of us are slower than others. We're speaking about how to build relationship and fellowship within the church, and we're speaking before that, what happens that we tear relationships down, you know, what happens?
Well, gossiping about a brother or sister is always a good way to tear something apart.
Gossip. You know, gossip, it'll do it every time. And then you know what gossip does? It's like this. When I was in school, in third, fourth grade, the teacher, she done something like this. She said something, or gave a note, or said something to the first kid over here, right? And said, now you speak it in the ear to the next person. And had to go all the way to the last person. And guess what? When it got to the last person, it was all different. Gossip is like this, right? I could say that you know Jerry, he take a little sip every now and then, right?
Oh, he does.
You know? And then it starts spreading, right? I saw Jerry drunk in Petersburg. Kenneth said that he saw Jerry drunk in Petersburg. Right? That's what gossip does. That's what the devil intended gossip to do. Are you with me? Make a mess. You see? But instead of speaking gossip, we ought to speak what? The gospel. Send that all over the place and see what happens. You see? See what happens if we send the gospel instead of gossip. But gossip, it's not good, you know? I know we're going to speak about somebody. We're going to, you know. But it's good to hear and make sure you prove what you're hearing. Go ahead.
That's why I love the book of James. James 3, it tells you about the power of the tongue.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The tongue is a poison and it's a healing. It's a salt water and it's a fresh water. Right? How you use it, it's on you. And it's very important that we use that tongue properly to teach. Spreading the gospel instead of spreading gossip. Because gossip is what the devil wants you to spread. And gossip never counts to nothing. You know? It never amounts to nothing. Gossip is not good. In our homes, right, that's where fellowship actually starts. That's where it starts, in our homes. And in our homes, we ought to recognize that we need to get along, right? Because in our homes, if, you know, and I'm just saying this now, you know, nobody will get mad at me now, but if me and my wife, you know, we start out eating at the table at the same time, right? Now, she don't even want to be in the kitchen unless I, you know, if I'm in there, right? Are you with me? That's kind of like not good fellowship, because one thing I've learned about the meal at the table, just like we're going to have today, right, that meal at the table, just like when we look in the scriptures at the meal at the table with Christ, that meal is very important. And we ought to sit at the table together. And I know somebody will say, well, if I'm not hungry, I ain't going to sit at the table. You know, I got that. I understand. But what I'm saying is, right, if you go, eating together is a good thing. You know, sitting down eating together is a good, and fellowship starts in the home. And if you bring that fellowship out from your home into the church, into the world, it helps. But if you ain't got fellowship in your home, what you bring out may not be good for the church or the world. But it's all in learning, right? We're not going to, you know, we're not going to get it. As long as we're breathing air, we're going to be learning. But as long as we're living, we're going to be learning. Give yourself an opportunity to learn. And it doesn't matter who you learn from, because believe it or not, you learn from everybody. I heard a preacher say it like this. He said, this world is a school. Are you with me? We learn from this world. We can learn from one another. We learn what the animals do. You know? We learn from one another. We could learn from a drunk. And I remember I had a class about that. You could learn from a drunk. And they said, what could you learn from a drunk? I said, not to be one. Are you with me? From everything we could learn, you know, we could learn. And give ourselves an opportunity to learn. Not saying, well, I've been in the church for 50-something years. I've been over that, right? Go over it again. Keep on going over and see what happens. You ain't going to get nothing new. You're going to get something more. Are you with me? Because God's word ain't no change in it. If you're going to get something, you're going to get more out of it. Thou shalt not steal. Are you with me? You know, when I first heard that, right, I'm thinking about a bubble gum. Excuse me. I'm thinking about $100,000, you know, big time, right? A bubble gum ain't stealing, right? But guess what? They're stealing too. You see? So when you study to show yourself approved, you learn more. It's nothing new. I got something new out of this. We might say that, but it's actually we got more out of it, right? To steal, and then you learn about stealing from God. Like I said, when I first became a member. And I throw a $5 bill in, right? Right? Made $500-$600, right? But I'm going to throw $5 in, right? Then I start going with Barbara. Then I'm gonna show her I'm throwing $10 in it. Like I'm doing something now, right? But all the time, these people was giving goodly to the Lord. Are you with me? I'm thinking that $5-$10, you know, as long as I give it, you know. But when I learned more. It says like this: when you know better, you what? Do better. And when I learned better, I done better. Because at one time I was thinking like this, right? Giving, you know. That's all you hear is giving, giving, giving. You know, every time I go to church, it's giving, giving, giving. And, you know, giving, 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 giving. Church ain't about giving. You know, that's what I thought, right? But when I learned better, I've done better. Because I was able to let myself learn better. And then when I start giving, it's like I ain't got enough to give. I want to give more, but I just ain't got enough. Well, I hope I have some more to give. Not to be giving more to somebody else or, you know, make myself look good, but I just wanted to do more, give more. I wish I could.
Right. Yeah, we can come to appreciate the words,
mm-hmm.
of course, of Scripture. But when you have that light come on,
mm-hmm.
when you learn more,
mm-hmm.
and you have a new appreciation or respect for the appropriate verses for that event in your life. So like you're saying in regards to giving, then the words of Christ when he said it's more blessed to give
mm-hmm.
than to receive
has
a different
mm-hmm.
meaning, a deeper meaning than when you were first putting in $5.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's powerful because you could tell somebody who don't understand that it's better to give than to receive. What? Wait, what? You mean it's better to get than to give, right? No, it's better to give than to receive. And you know, that's something you learn. You know, you might can quote it, you might know it is in the Bible, but until you get it fit in you, in your heart, and live that, you still ain't got it. Are you with me? You just don't have it.
Again, this is just one example of many within Scripture, of course. When God says, I own 1,000 cattle
mm-hmm.
on the hill, you understand what he's saying, but when you study deeper and come to a greater appreciation of his word, you then understand it's not only the cattle, it's the mountains, it's the valleys. Wait a minute. It's the whole world that he spoke into existence, that he owns it all. And the blessings that we are given, whether it's 1,000 cattle or $1,000, guess who it belongs to? Him.
My dad.
That's right. And so, again, once we grow in the faith and maturity,
mm-hmm.
we understand, oh, I am able to give. So that's why I have been blessed. I am blessed to be able to give. And I have a better understanding of what it means is more blessed to give than to receive. Because who gave you and afforded you the opportunity to do that? And again, it's even down to the 2 mites. See, the point is, it's not about dollars. It's about the condition of your heart.
Exactly. And that giving is very important. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's Bible. Are you with me? So in other words, when we give, we're going to get. Are you with me? We might not get what we actually want to get, but we're going to get what we need every time. Are you with me? You think because we... That's it?
No, that was Ms. Reedman.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to add, the one thing that I'm getting out of this is you're talking about the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can't go wrong if we realize and get the understanding of the purpose of the fellowship.
Exactly.
Which... when you understand that the purpose is to serve God, and as serving God, the focus is not going to be on you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to become smaller, and by you being smaller, God will become bigger.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But what you do will be for the benefit of God, and you still will be included,
mm-hmm.
because as long as you're a child of his, you're going to be covered.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We are one. We are one on this boat. A man was running through the neighborhood, and he was jogging. And he had some new neighbors who had a dog, and the dog had got away. So as he was jogging, right, the dog started running behind him, right? Working together, just like the one body, we work together. The ears heard the dog. The ears asked the rest about what's happening. The eyes looked back and said, a dog coming. Sent message down to the foot that we got to get out of here. And they ran, and we ran. So the foot sent a message to the eyes and said, how are we doing? The eyes looked back and said, not so good. So the eyes saw a stick ahead, up ahead. So tell the foot, it said, when we get to that stick, you stop and we can get it, we can protect ourselves. Are you with me? So the body stopped. Now, when that body stopped to get that stick, what if the hand said, I ain't going to pick it up? Right? I'm not going to pick it up. Why? Because last winter, you went to the store. We went to the store. You bought a hat to put on your head and for the cold. You bought boots and socks for your foot. You bought thermal underwear for the rest of your body. But you didn't get no gloves for me. So you get it, you know, you get out of this situation yourself. That's a scenario now, you know. But anyway, but you see, when we work together, that dog would have been in trouble, right? Are you with me? But if we don't work together on this ship, on this fellowship ship, this relationship ship, if we don't work together, we're going to work against one another, and that ship is going to be kind of like going around in circles, like Israel went around. In and around. Are you with me? Go ahead, sir.
Jesus said, there's none good but God. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. Mm-hmm. I stand at the door knocking. If you open the door, I would abide with you. Mm-hmm. You abide with me, and mm-hmm. we'll be one. Mm-hmm. I can do nothing good without God.
That's right.
If I'm trying to do good and fail, it's because it's me operating on my own power. Mm-hmm. But when I allow the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to come in mm-hmm. and take over, it's not me, but the Holy Spirit doing the work.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, lean not to our own understanding. Mm-hmm. You know. Because there's a way that seemeth right to us, but the ways thereof are what? The ways of death. You see? So you know, it's just like in your home, you want good fellowship. Excuse the expression, you want to sleep in the same bed. Are you with me? You want to eat at the same table. You know? When you sit down on the couch, you want to... Huh? You remember that? No, y'all don't know about it. Okay, all right. But anyway, are you with me?
I'm with you.
You see? So you want to be together in good fellowship. And if you're not in good fellowship, right, when you get off from work, the home, the house would be the last place, what, you want to come to. Because there ain't nothing, you know, that'll be the last place you want to come to. And you'll hang out with the boys or you'll hang out with the girls until you think somebody's sleeping or whatever, right? you know, because that fellowship is not there. You say, it begins at the house, at our home, but it begins someplace before that physical house. It begins, like Chuck said, in here, in this body, in our hearts, in this body. It begins here with that fellowship, just like the hand getting along with the feet, the feet getting along with the ears, you know. You know, remember the story now. The hand was, you know, didn't get something. So the hand said, you know, you get out of this yourself. Are you with me? But when you work it together in good fellowship, things work. It works. Husband and wife, it works. Family, it works. Especially in the church, it works. Then you take that thing out into the world, it works. Because that's what God wants us to do. Are you with me? What the bond is, first of all, love, understanding, wisdom, knowledge. The Bible says like this. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. So therefore, get wisdom. But with all thy getting, get in understanding. Understand what's going on. You know, put this thing into action. Study to show thyself approved. Work with thee not being ashamed. Rightly divide the words. You see, that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I can stand up here and quote some more scripture, but if I'm not putting it into use, right, you know, it ain't doing me no good. So we're in this fellowship, that's it?
That's a pass.
Okay, we're going to get the other half. We see how things take us away. Now we're going to see how to build us up next week, God will. All right? I love you all, all right? You know, some things I say you might get mad, but I'll come like Paul. You know, Paul says like this. He says, you might get mad, but I've done it out of love.
Amen.
You know, I've done it out of love.